It is one of the most significant crises with Russia since the end of the Cold War. 100,000 Russian troops on Ukraine's border that the U.S. says could invade within weeks. Today in Geneva, senior American and Russian diplomats met, kicking off a week of intense diplomacy. Nick Schifrin reports.
The photo op was tense and silent. U.S. and Russian negotiators met for 8 hours of bilateral talks that Deputy Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov described as a possible basis for agreement.
A professional, practical conversation by itself puts us in an optimistic mood, of course, but by all means, the main questions remain.
Speaking to reporters by phone, Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman called it a frank and forthright preliminary dialogue.
Today was a discussion. A better understanding of each other and each other's priorities and concerns. It was not what you would call a negotiation.
The crisis caused by 100,000 Russian troops deployed to Ukraine's borders. The U.S. warns Russia has plans to mobilize twice that number and possibly invade. But what the U.S. raised today, mutual limits on Eastern European exercises like these in Poland and on missile deployments by reviving the defunct Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty, or INF, that banned an entire class of nuclear weapons.
Even on things that are not Russian priorities, we had useful discussion and exchanges today that will help inform our way forward.
Russia's public priorities expand much further. In December, it released demands including roll back all NATO forces and weapons in Europe to 1997, and no further enlargement of NATO, including Ukraine. That would rewrite decades of U.S. and NATO policy and the map. In 1949, NATO's eastern border was Italy. By 1997, it had added four more countries for a total of 16. Since then, in five rounds of expansion, it's grown to 30 countries, including those on Russia's border. In 2008, NATO said Ukraine and Georgia would become future members. The Biden administration says it refuses to negotiate NATO expansion or the deployment of U.S. troops in Eastern Europe, which Ryabkov today said was still Russia's priorities.
For us, it's absolutely mandatory to make sure that Ukraine never, never ever becomes member of NATO.
But in Kyiv this weekend, Ukrainians who look west urged the U.S. to stand up to Putin. It's been 8 years since Russia invaded eastern Ukraine. And still, this weekend, Ukrainian soldiers fought Russian-backed separatists. Kyiv insists that Moscow cannot be allowed to block its NATO membership, as Deputy Prime Minister Olga Stefanishnya said today in Brussels.
We have inherent sovereign right to choose our own security arrangements, including treaties and alliances. What Russia is doing is tries to impose its agenda instead of returning to the negotiation table.
So did today's talks create a diplomatic pathway to avoid war in Ukraine? For that, we get two views. Deborah Kagan had a 30-year career as an American diplomat where she focused on arms control and NATO. And Dmitry Trenin joins us from Moscow, where he directs the Carnegie Moscow Center think tank. Welcome to the NewsHour to both of you. Dmitry Trenin, let me start with you. There are Russian troops on the Ukrainian border. There are Russian demands that the U.S. had to respond to today. Do today's talks create a pathway for a diplomatic solution?
Well, it's too early to tell. I think that, as Deputy Foreign Minister Ryabkov said, they will assess the results of the talks today and, in fact, yesterday. Also, the talks that are scheduled for the 12th of January with NATO, and to some extent what happens the following day, the next day in Vienna at the OSCE. And then they will come to a decision whether a new round of talks is possible, is promising, or whether that's it. So I think we are at an inflection point in not only in U.S.-Russian relations, but more broadly in Russian-Western relations.
Deborah Kagan, do you believe that we're at an inflection point and the outcome wasn't decided today, but in fact will be only decided after a week's worth of diplomatic meetings?
I don't even think it'll be decided after a week's worth of diplomatic meetings. And I think that inflection point has been going on for quite a long period of time. It's not just right this second. So I think that a lot of talking has to be had. And there's been no evidence of any Russian de-escalation to this point, which I think should be a precursor to moving forward on any of the other diplomatic solutions.
So, Dmitry Trenin, let's go into what the U.S. administration has proposed. In response to a series of requests, many of which are about NATO and Ukraine, the U.S. administration is focused on mutual concessions on arms control, on revisiting the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty, and on restricting exercises in Eastern Europe. Will that be enough?
I think the short answer is no. I think that the issue of INF forces in Europe is certainly something that Russia would want to address and resolve. I think that Russia is also interested in caps on troops in its vicinity, on exercises by NATO forces. But most important issues for Russia were membership, or rather non-membership, of Ukraine in NATO and the non-expansion of military infrastructure of NATO, no strike weapons that can reach Russia in Europe, including in Ukraine. And he also mentioned a rollback of NATO's infrastructure to where it was back in 1997. So he called those three elements, core elements, key elements of the Russian position. And unless those were addressed in a manner that would be found acceptable by the Russians, other things would not be pursued.
Deborah Kagan, many of those proposals are dead on arrival for the administration. So do you believe it will be enough for this administration to propose things like arms control and exercises to respond to and try and defuse this crisis?
I think it's great to put those things out there, but it depends on how adamant, as Dmitry said, the Russians are on this. If they're going to continue to insist that NATO has to pull back to pre-1997 borders, that's palpably ridiculous. That's not going to happen because Washington and the rest of NATO are never going to treat, for example, Berlin and Paris and London better than you treat Warsaw and Vilnius and Bucharest. And that's what the Russians are asking for. And I think that is an absolute non-starter. And I think Deputy Secretary Sherman was very, very clear on that today.
Dmitry Trenin, Deborah Kagan's not the only one who calls these ideas ridiculous or non-starters. Do you believe that they are designed to be rejected and become the prelude either for war or some kind of permanent Russian presence on Ukraine's border?
Well, in my judgment, the third condition that the Russians are putting forth, i.e. the rollback of NATO's military installations that have been built in the territories of the new NATO states, that this is rather less important for Russia than the two other issues raised by Mr. Ryabkov. So this could be an area where Russia potentially could give, should it see progress on the truly important issues, non-expansion of NATO and non-expansion of NATO's infrastructure beyond where it is today.
Deborah Kagan, again, the U.S. and NATO are not willing to provide any kind of solid assurance to Russia that NATO won't expand. So do you fear that these Russian demands are an excuse to be denied and an excuse to go to war?
I wouldn't say that it's an excuse to go to war. I do think the Russians know that these are going to be denied. I think the Russians tried to split some of the older members of NATO from some of the newer members of NATO. And that's to be expected. But I don't think that I don't think the Russians need an excuse to further invade Ukraine. And so I think that might be a misnomer.
Dmitry Trenin, just quickly in about 30 seconds that we have left, the proposal there that Deborah Kagan lays out would take some time to actually negotiate. Does Moscow have that kind of patience during this crisis?
Well, I think Moscow insists on moving ahead swiftly. But the important thing is that Moscow's agenda needs to be at the core of the negotiations. And that, I think, is non-negotiable for the Russian side. Unless those issues are addressed, other things will probably not get the attention that they may deserve.
Deborah Kagan, quickly, just in 30 seconds, do you see that at the core of the agenda in these talks?
I see that's part of what Moscow is hoping to get, but I just want to point out one quick fact here. There's about 60,000 U.S. forces in all of Europe, and only about 6,000 of those are deployed east of Berlin, for example. And of those, about 4,000 are in Poland. So if you want to talk about exercises, NATO doesn't do 100,000-person exercises. They don't. They haven't. They're not going to do it in the future. And so it's sometimes ridiculous to say we have 100,000 troops here and it's just an exercise. And so I just want to point out that I think this shows how ridiculous some of the Russian positions are on this, because the numbers just don't match up at all.
Barry Kagan, Dmitry Trenin, thank you very much to you both.
You're welcome.